Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But now, word, I believe, for those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. The King has spoken, His Spirit has moved, and it's for us to sit attentive to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When you think about it, I mean, all we have to do is hear what God says. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is hear what God says. And He'll direct us every step of the way. If you're worried and concerned about what's taking place, and we're about to talk about something that's happening right now in the Middle East, it's going to just hopefully surprise you. If it doesn't, we'll teach you how to be surprised mm-hmm. in the context of it. Understanding that moments are happening right now in the earth, at this very moment, you have to understand this. We were told plainly that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. That's his job description. If you want to do a short job description for Satan. And then, if he's holding people captive to do his will, and that's what Paul's telling Timothy, he says, listen, gently instruct these folks because they're held captive to do Satan's will, which means then if someone is held captive to do Satan's will, he is being held or she's being held to steal, to kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy. And people can say, hey, well, that's not me. And it's like, you know, he that doesn't gather scatters. He that loves the world is a hater of God. I mean, I'm not telling you nothing new. I'm just telling you what really is. But it's okay because it's better with God. And God wins. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you are not supposed to be ashamed of is that we have eternal life in Christ. We not only win in the end, we've already won in Christ if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. This is a powerful, powerful, that's why it's called good news. It's called the good news. That's why Paul runs to the chopping block. That's why Peter doesn't mind being crucified upside down. That's why Mark being dragged through the street with meat hooks because he stood up for God didn't bother him. That's why John was put on the Isle of Patmos and had no problem being isolated. This is why men and women were boiled in oil, cut asunder, and all these different things that didn't bother them because they were looking for a life beyond. Listen, it's time for us to get our eyes off the horizontal, the temporary, and get it back on the eternal and begin to live in the horizontal, understanding everybody's going to have to answer to the vertical. What I mean is the horizon. What you see is temporary. What the flesh that you see, the people that you talk to, the things, the stuff, and everything is passing away. But we're all going to stand as before the Lord, the throne of God, and we're going to answer for our life there at the throne of God. And what's so cool is that you can eliminate any regrets you might have there by making the right decisions today. And knowing that, today's broadcast on VFN Radio is going to be very important to you. Very, very important to you. So I want you to kind of clear your agenda for a little bit. Mark it, bookmark it. Whatever you need to do, you need to listen to what's taking place in the earth today. God does nothing. He does nothing unless he reveals it to his prophets. First, so his prophets, people can tell you what they heard God say. And it's not the prophets anything. It's just the message is something. What God is saying, warning, telling, letting us know. What's so important is that understanding our how loving God is, even if we've made bad mistakes, even if we turn to a life of darkness, all we have to do is turn back to him and say, dear God, I was astray. I bought into stuff. Or even I created stuff that wasn't true, false doctrines, itching ear stuff, all this, whatever it was, I'm going to turn back to you. Listen, I want to be on your side in history books. I want to be found in the end on your side. On your side. And with that, I'm going to begin to still talk to you about what's taking place in the Middle East. What's taking place in the Middle East today is this week, this time. It's been happening since the beginning of our current, actually sometime back. It began really in America. And if you were going to pick kings at the time or pick presidential leadership at that time, probably under President Bill Clinton and his wife, Hillary Clinton. And it's now progressed today to we have accepted an anti-Jesus religion in the midst of our government, in the midst of our schools, in the midst of our practices, where radical Islam, who says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, but they do call him a prophet. This is talking about what the Quran says, what Muhammad said in the Quran, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. So they openly say he's not the Son of God. And they openly deny the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't figure it out, maybe. You might lose your mind trying to figure it out, but you can lose your soul by denying the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's not that complicated, church. It's not that complicated. God loves Muslims. God will show himself to Muslims, and he will save Muslims like he saved you or saved anybody else. So it's not that he doesn't love Muslims. The reality is that if someone says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that's anti the Son of God.
That's right.
That's anti-Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the only way to God. That's somebody shutting the door to you, the gate to you, that you cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. And so it's so very, very important. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we have an opportunity now. I don't know how big the window of opportunity is. I don't know how long it's going to last. I sense if we don't wake up and shake ourselves, you know, whether, you know, if you make it or not, I just don't feel like it's going to be this window of great opportunity with such freedom to be able to do what we're doing today. It's going to be around if we don't shake ourselves and say, dear God, forgive us. Get us back into that place again, that place of hold me close to you. Never let me go. All I want is you, God. And all I want to do is spend my life telling people about you, about the good news of Jesus Christ. Right now, as we speak, this Arab Spring that is blown across has blown across the Middle East, surrounding Israel like a ring of fire, which is promoted in the verbiage of speeches from our current leader, saying that it was a positive thing. While the people themselves, as we talked about even yesterday, you know, Muslims, peaceful Muslims and peaceful Christians are protesting together in America, going, "Mr. President, please stop this killing of." Stop supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, who is killing us. I mean, when Muslims, peaceful Muslims and peaceful Christians march together as Americans to say, stop this. This is a huge sign to say, listen, that's how bad this thing is. But you have to understand, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reported by CBN and by John Stuckerback, if that is the name, with the report on terror, that when the Muslim Brotherhood uses militant arms, but they don't say this is our militant arm. You're talking, based on what they're reporting, is Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
And not even Al-Qaeda, but I can't think about the Hamas.
Hamas.
These are like the disconnected yet definitely funded and connected militant arm. So when they're fighting the Hamas in Syria, reportedly, based on what we're hearing, is that they're fighting, the king of Syria is fighting the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's more of the same that was happening in Egypt, was happening in the other uprisings that were taking place. It's the same thing. And so now all of a sudden, 100,000 people have been killed in Syria by the Syrian government. They're rebelling against the government. The government's fighting back and people are being killed. 100,000 people have died. They made a statement. They said, listen, if any chemical weapons, because they got the biggest stockpile of chemical weapons,
in the world,
sitting basically on the very northern borders of Israel. And they said, if chemical weapons are used, that'll be the line that's drawn. And then we're going to come in and America's going to come in. This is what our president said. And then we're going to have military action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's 100,000 deaths, and we did not get involved. And now, reportedly, 100 people have been affected by chemical weapons. 100,
including children. Well, but just think about it. The thing about it, if the king was using chemical weapons on his people, it wouldn't be 100 people.
Right.
You know, ask Saddam Hussein, who can't be asked anymore.
Yeah,
right.
It's whoever's around there. It's like a systematic, really, somebody's egging this thing on to say, okay, here's a small line. Mm-hmm. When the UN was coming in, they wouldn't, it's reported by the Blaze, they wouldn't even let the UN even come down.
Yeah.
Even come down to the site where they could see where these 100 people were affected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think they may have done their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get America involved to come against the king. And this seems like, to what, you know, our current president is saying, you need to step down. They're telling, you need to step down. It's like, oh my goodness, we're telling everybody to change your kings, take him out. We came, we conquered, he's dead. That's a quote by Secretary Hillary Clinton, who's now going to be probably running for president, but she did that with the king.
We have that clip on the torch.
Of Libya. Mm. And now you saw what happened in Libya. And our ambassador came, they conquered, he's dead.
Mm.
This is nothing to laugh at. And the things are taking place. We're talking about what's God's perspective of this, because the Middle East, when you see what's happening around Israel, Israel's, the nations around Israel is becoming a trembling cop. It's becoming a trembling cop. And this very, and people can tell you what, there's no man knows, but let me tell you something. You can tell the season, you can tell the time, and the technology's here and everything's in place right now. And, it, you know, one day there wasn't a world war going on, and the next day there was a world war going on.
Hmm.
This was not the plan of the two presidents who were president during the war wars. That this, they're going to have a war war when they were coming in. They That's went right. reluctantly in it. But they, if you look at their politics, they created things in America that caused us to be weak, which caused these things to happen in the world. That's where the UN came out of the first situation, which progressed in the second war. And what was taking place in the policies back in FDR's day is exactly what's happened today.
Mm-hmm.
And our current president, he, based on, I remember when he first went into office, he gave the autobiography of FDR to everybody, he had it distributed, and they all read it.
Mm.
The New Deal.
Change and hope, huh?
Yeah, well, New Deal. And the thing is that's what led us into the weak state of, caused us to be in a war that he did not, FDR didn't want that war to happen, but you don't pick it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at this point, here we're weakened again. We were doing the FDR type concepts and policies and procedures and all that kind of stuff. And we're about to fire missiles from our carriers. We have, it's kind of hard to describe this if you're not a person of the word and abide with God, but you have to understand, imagine Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane, like he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there and he's praying. And outside the garden, you have like 5 American ships with missiles about to just bombard the garden. Remember, God's people came to, supposedly God's people, the military came to arrest Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Son of God. And of course, we're not going to get into theology, but there was something that he allowed to happen. Well, you would think, my goodness. We don't want to be a part of bombing Jesus. We don't want to be a part of that. And they said, well, relax, because even though the ships are pointing at Jesus, the guns are pointing 2 inches to the left at Syria.
Hmm.
We're sitting right outside of Israel in the Mediterranean.
That's right.
With like 5 ships.
Hmm.
And Syria sits like a hat on top of Israel. And where the greatest stockpile of chemical weapons is... And Israel at its widest point, what is 70 miles wide at its widest point?
Mm-hmm.
And we got ships. If you stacked our ships end to end, we probably could see, at least see each ship
mm-hmm.
before it reached Jordan.
Mm.
And this is what they're saying. And we're going to play this on CBN News, but they're saying the second you punch, isn't it amazing?
Mm.
It is so amazing. As soon as Saddam Hussein started getting attacked, he didn't fire missiles at America. He fired missiles over Jordan into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Those Scud missiles, remember?
Yeah.
Wow, that's right.
And they're saying, you punch me, I'll punch God's apple of his eye. You touch us, and we will punch Israel.
Mm.
If you fire a missile at us, we're going to fire a missile at Syria. Listen to CBN News. We'll be right back.
in Israel. A new warning from Syria today. If attacked, the country will retaliate against Israel. That comes after U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry reported there is undeniable evidence of a large-scale chemical weapons attack by the Assad regime. Now the U.S. and its allies appear to be preparing for a military response. The U.S. Secretary of State says there is undeniable evidence chemical weapons were used.
With our own eyes, we have all of us become witnesses.
Witnesses to the slaughter of civilians, women and children, by some of the world's most heinous weapons.
This is about the large-scale, indiscriminate use of weapons that the civilized world long ago decided must never be used at all. A conviction shared even by countries that agree on little else.
Military action by the U.S. and its allies appears imminent. The Obama administration is reaching out to congressional leaders, an action House Speaker John Boehner said must be taken before the U.S. becomes militarily involved in Syria. Russia, an ally of the Assad regime, is warning the U.S. against such a move, and Syrian officials are issuing a warning of their own. They say if the U.S. attacks, Israel will pay. In a statement Monday, a senior Syrian official said, quote, "We have strategic weapons and we're capable of responding. Normally, the strategic weapons are aimed at Israel." President Obama has not decided on military action, but military experts say an attack involving sea-launched cruise missiles is most likely. It's expected the attack would be limited, targeting chemical weapons facilities and lasting only a couple of days.
President Obama has made clear to the Assad regime that this international norm cannot be violated without consequences.
Israeli citizens are purchasing gas masks in preparation for a possible retaliatory strike from Syria.
Here we are. Here we are. At this point in time, the very man that was on his yacht when he was paddling out in a little small rowboat with his suitcase, why Egypt was being... what's the word they're not using in Egypt?
A coup.
A coup. A coup wasn't happening,
right?
What they reported. And now he's standing up saying, and they're letting everybody know. It's like, okay, go ahead and point your chemical weapons down to Israel. You have to understand, Israel's not that large at all.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's only like 12 million Jews on the face of the earth. There's 6 million Jews, I believe, that's in Israel, approximately 6 million Jews. You know, that we know of. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many was killed in the Holocaust?
Six million.
And we, a country who's killed over how many children?
55
million children since 1973, since Roe versus Wade and abortion. We're sitting outside of the apple of God's eye, knowing that we're about to threaten Israel by what we do in Syria. And it's like, and by the way, it's reported that 9% of America supports this.
9%.
But that's kind of how it was when World War II started.
Mm.
And when the draft came, based on my understanding, the draft won by one vote.
Mm.
Just one vote.
Wow.
But then amazing, think about this. One vote can put you in a war and draft you into war. And that's what I said early on. I truly believe, I'm going to talk more about it when I come back. But I truly believe that we're looking at a day that you're going to be demanded to show up to fight for a country that you got to begin to believe in again.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't put God Bless America or One Nation Under God in our Pledge of Allegiance until after we went to war.
Oh, wow.
We went to war. Because once you see the murder and the mayhem and the cost and you realize only God can deliver you, it's like, hey, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our Secretary of State, the one that took Hillary Clinton's place, John Kerry, just made a speech. We just heard it in the earlier part of the program where they are positioning our ships to be able to fire a shot at the air that's right above Israel from the Mediterranean to punish him for supposedly using chemical weapons on 100 people, while 100,000 people have been killed up there. And the world could very well, it's almost like pushing America. And this is the thing that God has shown me, has shown several people who are hearing from the Lord, that Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. Mm. But if we repent, God will allow victory to happen and us to turn back, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of that, it was like everything's been trying to get us close enough to the cliff so the push is easier. Because this thing about Americans is they have a constitution, they have this sense of independence, they have somehow, even though many don't even understand it anymore, the Constitution understands that we are government by the people and for the people, and that at some point they can wake up. When America wakes up, it has to be too late for them if somebody's strategizing to be able to change, fundamentally transform our country. So if you got to get them close enough to the cliff, when they wake up, they're waking up in a fall that already took place from the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to, and we have it yesterday, we made it available to you on the Torches where we're talking about the former ambassador to Mexico. But you know, watch that whole interview taking place in Colorado and listen to the president of Google and listen to the president of Liberty Media and what they're talking about. And you can, the logical sense, I totally get what they're saying. But this is not about logic. This is not about the earthly wisdom. You know, God's power, his message confounds the wise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about, hey, this logically works. It's about, what does God want? What does God want? And they're basically, the guy with Liberty Media is going, which is worldwide, some media consortium or something. You know, he wants the Constitution gone.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a new world type form of government. So that, because since business is world, government needs to be world, and we can do this thing. And anybody that says that, normally the ones at the top of that paradigm,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And it's only because they're righteous, mm-hmm. you know. And the truth is, once you get men together outside of God, it's not going to be good. And so, so much so that even God confounded and confused the language of men so that they wouldn't come together like that. And when men unite outside of God, it's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
And
write that down.
And then the president of Google, which seems to be a real nice man, but he's talking about he pretty much knew what the president of Liberty or founder of Liberty, they kind of laughed about it. Yeah, we know what you want, you know. And but Google's worldwide as well,
mm-hmm.
and it is all this thing is worldwide. I mean, you know, it's just, but the thing about it is that and there will be a day when it kicks into the World Cup. But what is the thing that pushes us to the point where if we do wake up, if the sleeping giant does wake up, will it be too late?
Mm.
It's like one of those dreams that, you know, that you're falling in the dream.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if you wake up, you were already falling. Now, if you knew that you're about to fall and you woke up, you go, phew. But a lot of times those happen to you, and they have happened to me in years, but I've had them happen to me, where all of a sudden you wake up, startled out of a dream because you're falling.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just falling all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too late then. So if you do wake up, you just are, you know, you're going to see yourself hit the ground, you know, whatever you're falling at. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we do. That's why we have VFN Radio. That's why we have VFN TV, because we could have stayed quietly. Mm-hmm. To ourselves. I mean, I'm not getting more saved by by laying my life down than nobody else is either. But we're wanting you to be saved. We're wanting you to know Jesus. We're wanting you to understand that the reason why we're talking to you, because God is real. God is real. And so many people have convinced so many lies that it's hard for people to even know the truth. To even know the truth, but you think about this, that the enemy has convinced a lot of people, and I'm looking up here so I can have it exactly. They convinced a lot of people. He's convinced a lot of people, and they've done this in the name of religion, that hell is not hot, Satan is not real, and consequences aren't true.
Mm.
Let me say that again. This is what religion has done today. From our pulpits, from radio, from television, those who teach religion in universities, not all, but obviously look at America, quite a few of us,
mm-hmm.
that they've convinced so many people that hell is not hot, Satan is not real, and consequences aren't true.
Mm.
And it just makes me think of the showers and the concentration camps.
Oh.
concentration camps. What does that mean? Getting a whole bunch of people concentrated together in a small area. And then all of a sudden, they say, listen, you're hot from the train ride. Yeah, I know you're hot, aren't you? Oh. Well, come on, we got a little protective area for you because people, although we're the ones that created this stink, we're the one that created this hatred towards you, but now we'll protect you from this hatred that we created. Mm. Come on in this fenced-in area right here. Here, we have a shower for you. Just shower off. While they're taking all their luggage and all their stuff, and they're taking it, and they're taking their coat off, and they're hanging. This is Israel. This is the Jews. While they're hanging their coats on a hook, not realizing, because they think they're going to get a shower, and then they're going to come back and get dressed again, that that was the last movement they would make before these supposedly shower heads were turned on over their head, and gas was poured out, and they gassed God's people to death. And then they took their bodies, and they put them in ovens. They put them in ovens to burn their bodies in ovens. Smoke was coming out continually from these ovens, and there's so many people that were killed by those held captive by Satan to do his will. What is his will? Steal, kill, and destroy God's people. I mean, look at Syria, what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you touch me, I'm not going to, this ain't going to be a fair fight. I'm not going to fight you back. I'm going to go punch God's people. I'm going to punch God's people. There are so many people killed in the concentration camps of Germany during World War II that they just had their bodies so, all these dead bodies of Jews stacked up. They were pushing them with dozers in holes, digging huge mass graves and burying these women, these children, these men. They didn't care anything about God's people. Listen, let me tell you something. You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. We're friend of the sinner, but we're not friend of the world. You have to understand, it's a big difference. We love people, but we hate the sin. We got to live our lives. And it's not that we don't sin. It's the fact that we hate the sin that we do. We don't want to be a part of that. We separate ourselves. He said to love the world is to hate him. And we're like a mixed drink, man. We're just like got a little bit of everything in there. And we're believing this doctrine that hell ain't hot, Satan ain't real, and consequences aren't going to happen. And it's so ridiculous. It's like the only reason you fall for that is because you have a lack of knowledge. You have not gotten in the Word of God. You've got to begin to think for yourself. Life takes effort. Like we were talking about yesterday with America the Beautiful by Dr. Ben Carson's book that he wrote. The one consistent factor throughout his book other than God was, hey, it's going to cause sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to work. It's amazing how cheap you can be bought off for. I mean, you're worth more than $800 a month from some check. You know, aren't you worth more than that? There's $1 million in you, ma'am.
That's right.
There's $1 million in you, sir. But it's going to take sacrifice to work it out. To begin to, God bless the work of your hand. Begin to be faithful to God and what he's given you. What's your price? They're cutting checks left and right, getting us closer and closer till we get finally over this cliff so far. It doesn't matter whether you wake up or not. You might as well just stay asleep if you're done pushed over. At least, you know, it's just a short period of time for you, the enter into the beast economy, if you would, in the next aspect, possibly what could happen. So we're moments. We got like five or six huge. And listen, I served in the Navy. These ships are huge. Some of those carriers are so huge you can get lost on. They're like cities. Cities. 6,000 men and women on those things. It was just men then, but now they got men and women. 6,000. Imagine 6,000 people in this city floating outside your Israel, outside the Gethsemane, outside where the apple of God's eye is at.
Right.
Knowing if you punch once. And there's no way that we can punch enough times that there won't be somebody who can put their hand on some sort of chemical trigger through suitcases, through walking it over, through just releasing in the air and putting a fan up. I mean, it doesn't take much because it's right there. Remember, we were there in the northern West. Nothing. You can see all this. You can see all this stuff.
That's right.
And so we need to pray. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the protection of Israel. We need to ask God to save Israel. We need to ask the Lord to touch our leaders and to tell them, back down. Back down from this. You know, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. If Israel's threatened because of our actions, then our actions cause their harm, period. If we know by us doing this, and listen, we empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. We invited them into the speech in Cairo, Egypt. We painted a picture, you know, about what life would be like with them in leadership. And I'm going to make it my duty as the president of the United States to be able to go fight against every negative stereotype of Islam in the world. Quote, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
speech.
And then they rise to power, and the Egyptians saying, you put these people in power, they're killing us. And then the breeze blew all the way across the Middle East. Now it's just, it can't blow down so easily in Syria what they were hoping it would blow down. Now we have ships to finish blowing it down. And Israel's being surrounded 70 miles wide. Think about where you would rather live and drive 70 miles away, and you've reached both sides of Israel. And then think about five of our ships standing outside in the Mediterranean about to fire shots into Syria. And think about all the world leaning forward and understand how hated we are now in the world. Understand how shocked people who stood with us are now that we no longer stand for freedom and liberty and stand for our Constitution and all the things that are going on. They can't trust us.
Mm-mm.
Imagine the division and derision. Imagine things that God showed prophetically to Deuteronomy's son, grandson, that where China, Russia, and North Korea got together and made a pact that why should the American dollar be the number one currency in the earth? Why should it be the Integrated Monetary Fund or whatever they call that thing? Well, you thought back then, you know, what's the big deal? But you look today, it's like, my goodness, it's happening. We just invited the general, the head of the military, and we're talking biblical perspective of what's going on here. We invited the military leader of China into the Pentagon, gave him a podium beside the podium of the Secretary of Defense, gave him an interpreter, brought in the media of the world. When you bring him in the Pentagon, you bring people into the depths of how your bullet works, you know?
The heart.
The heart of your defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the best thing the enemy had going early on was to just throw something against the building on the outside of the Pentagon. But now we actually invited a nation in whose God is not God, who says you will kill every child outside of one, who says we own all the land right here, who has the majority of their 1.3 billion people in abject poverty, 900 million in poverty, who has 1 million people reportedly in their army, 1 million.
Yeah.
1 million. And we invited them into our 400,000 engineering graduates a year, 40% being foreigners, into this nation. It's been weakened. Whose NASA program has been closed down, whose military has been weakened, who everything's been injected into our strength to weaken us, to where we shoved all this into the military. Now the military is having conflicts in the military that happen only in the world, and now they're actually accusing every soldier, it seems like, of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wake up. We are being turned over.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about Josiah, if you haven't listened to Josiah, you need to listen to Josiah. Listen, nothing happens in life that has not happened before. That's what, that's a cleft note for Ecclesiastes.
Mm.
And understand this, that there was so much innocent bloodshed that God was going to bring judgment on Israel. Israel now. On Jacob. Nobody didn't have the Bible. Nobody knew what scriptures. They didn't know what the scriptures said. So nobody had any word. And so all this was going on. But Josiah, because of the unction of the Lord, it's all you can say, the mercies of God, it doesn't really explain it. But he saw that the house of God was in disarray. And he knew he couldn't trust the people that were there because they're the ones that allowed it to get in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent carpenters to fix it up, and he told the people who were supposed to have been over it, give all the money to these guys and don't oversee them and let them handle it. Talking about, here we are in the Mediterranean today. with our Navy ships standing outside waiting to fire shots into the northern parts, well, the country just north of Israel, we'll put it that way, Syria, where 100,000 people have died. And, you know, what's taking place? Well, so often we could just run and try to fix everybody else without realizing we need to fix ourselves first. And what I was talking about with Josiah was here God was going to bring judgment on his people because of all the innocent. Manasseh had shed so much innocent blood on Israel. Imagine the ground just saturated with innocent blood. There's something about innocent blood that only God can describe to you that he will come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And it will constantly cry out. Abel's blood cries out today. Well, there wasn't as many people in Israel and on the earth at the time that matches the number of people that we've killed in America as a child. Over 55 million children, mm-hmm. this bloodshed has happened. And it just, they have doctors now that are calling people on the phone and Skyping with them and consulting the woman who wants to kill her child. And then once he has a little talk with her, she has a talk with him, they push a button and electronically a door pops open. Oh. And they're like in some remote area and the doctor's in some penthouse, I don't know, somewhere where the doctor's at.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's him prescribing it. And then all of a sudden she kills the baby with what was in the drawer.
Oh.
And we're outside the apple of God's eye about to fire a shot. And we don't even understand we're Josiah. Listen, there's something different about America that we're losing, but we can get back, than past governments. This is the difference. It's a government by the people and for the people. The king is the one that issues edicts. They're the ones that say, this is this way, this is how we're going to be this way. Well, that's a king. Well, what we have is as representative government that represents us as a nation. And so God holds, no matter what happens in Washington, D.C., God's going to hold you and me and all of us accountable because we're the ones that the government was of. We actually selected these folks. We didn't call them. We didn't write them. We didn't spend time with them. We didn't ask them questions and what was your value system. We didn't hold them accountable, but they're representing us. They're not representing some kingdom. They're representing you and me. It's representative government. It's a republic. Mm-hmm. And so, which means that's presently, because that's kind of a negative thing because we didn't do a good job at it. And it does take a lot of effort. But listen, what is freedom is not free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not free. And we have to begin to just get our foundational understanding of our country and what responsibility we have before God with this country, that he says he will lift a nation up and he'll take a nation down. America exists because God has allowed it to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't want it to exist anymore, hello, Mr. Prophecy Man, Prophecy Woman, we're not even in there anywhere.
Mm.
I mean, we can, they have all these little sweet little phrases for America, but the truth is you can't find it there, which means nothing's going to change if we disappear off the face of the earth. And in the context of that, that means God sees every individual, every man and woman, every citizen of America as a king, if you would. You're a king of your own country. And you can choose whoever you want to be your representative. And you can even call the ones who represent you now and talk to them and share your values with them and tell them how you would like them to represent you. You can gather people together in your city and your community who have like values and begin to invite them in and have a discussion with them. They call those town hall meetings and just say, hey, you know, this is going on this way. You know, we would really like you to represent us in this direction. And by the way, that's how it works. And you'd be surprised. A lot of these, the reason why people are doing voting the way they're voting is because the people who do have these values that are godly values and constitutional values are silent or, you know, rude and can't have a conversation, you know, with someone, not realizing if it's us, it's responsible before God, then we need to help our employee. We need to help the person that we hired to represent us and spend time with them until we understand each other. Doesn't mean they're going to go your way, but at least, you know, before God, you as a leader in this nation, right? Because you are Josiah, you can issue an edict to your people or to the people in the nation, to your leaders, and if they disobey that, then that's between them and God, not you. But if you remain silent in these things as king, if you would, because see, Josiah, what he did was And I'm going to quickly, as we're going to come to a close, and you can hear all of this on VFN TV. You can go watch it, I believe, or listen to it. It's called Josiah. That since he was king, he could say anything and do anything he wanted to. So he sent someone there to be able to fix up God's house. He restructured the king restructured worship and how things would be done and order and finance and everything. And when that happened, all of a sudden the leaders who weren't doing their job began to find, they found the scriptures. They go, oh, looky here what we found buried in the back of the whatever.
Right. Looky here.
Yeah. Which was the reason why the bloodshed and all the things were happening, because God's word was missing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, well, you got to get in God's word. If you're not in God's word, you're shedding innocent blood. You're doing things you wouldn't have done if you would have known that God. You're professing faith in a God who you're walking in rebellion to, and you don't even know it. And so when Josiah found out what God really said, when they brought, he had it read to him, he was so devastated, he ripped his clothes, and he realized God's anger is burning against us. God didn't say, hey, my anger is burning against you. He knew that God's anger was burning against them because they were in rebellion to the word. Mm. When you read God's word, you'll be shocked at what we're saying God wants and what we're actually doing and how contradictory they are. But what he did, he was so broken about it. He ripped his clothes. He personally repented. He went out before the people. He repented before them. He called everybody into a place of repentance and said, we're going to begin. And he began to tear down all these false idols and restructure things. And he restructured the kingdom. Because he could do that because he was king. A president can't do that. A Congress can't do that. A judiciary branch can't do that. Governors can't do that in America because we're a government by the people and for the people. We're the ones that send representative government to these leadership positions to represent us. So we tell them and say, listen, hey, we want these false gods removed down. We want this done. We want that done. We don't want abortion in the land. We want it to be this way. We tell them what God says. And then now if they represent us different than what we say, we're not held accountable. We've washed our hands of that.
That's
but
right.
if you say nothing, you know, and true evil is to remain silent in the face of evil, as Dr. King would say. You got to say something, because in America, you are Josiah. And let me tell you what happened after Josiah. This is how Josiah responded. And so God was going to destroy. He was going to bring judgment down on Israel. But because Josiah did what he did, God called him the most awesome king that ever lived, before or after, in man-wise.
Mm-hmm.
The best king that ever lived, before and after. What did he do? He just repented and did what God said and began to teach others to do the same. But he did say this. God says, as long as you live, I'm not going to do this. But because of all this innocent blood that was shed under Manasseh, I'm going to bring judgment. So it'll come after your time.
Mm-hmm.
And his time was not very long.
I mean, no.
You don't mind when you're going to be in the presence of God. You don't mind anytime you go. But as soon as he left to go be with God, Josiah died. Immediately, he had some, you know, factions going on, and they just happened. And one son tried to take leadership for about 90 days, and obviously, he was bigger in his head than he was in his life. But then then Egypt chose which of Josiah's son would be next.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt chose the next leader of America. Egypt chose the next leader of God's people. Egypt chose the leader of Israel. And they changed Josiah's son, the name that Josiah gave his son, they changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, the name Jehoiakim, which was named by Egypt, means God's set man.
Mm-hmm.
So Egypt wasn't doing nothing that God was not allowing. This was father filtered. God was bringing the judgment because of the innocent blood. Where was the first speech? Where was the first speech of our current president? I truly believe in my heart he's God's set man.
Yeah.
Don't be blaming him for your sin. Don't blame him for our sin. Become Josiah and do something about our sin. Turn to God. I mean, his job description is a Jehoiakim job description. Because this is what Jehoiakim did. I don't have a lot of time, and you can hear the whole thing at VFNTV.com. Go to VFNTV in the menu and watch Josiah. It's a prophetic word about our nation that he made this pact and this covenant with Egypt. And to be able to pay tribute to Egypt, he taxed Israel to the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you're seeing take place, and it was verified and clarified by our chief judge, when Chief Judge Roberts says, this is a tax.
Mm-hmm.
That was a prophecy to you. That was a prophecy to us. He's saying, this is Jehoiakim. This is God's set man. God has set this man to tax you to the hilt because of your sin. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They still could have repented. Quit worrying about losing your stuff and your things and having to pay taxes. Pay to Caesar what you owe to Caesar. Listen, repent. Understand how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
It is not Washington's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's our fault. We got to quit blaming some political party and quit blaming, pray for the president.
Yeah.
My goodness, I can imagine being God's said man to bring this in. Just happened to be Josiah's son. You know what I'm saying? And in the context of that, because Israel still did not repent and they rebelled and continued to do what they were doing, the next king was appointed by Egypt and his name was by Babylon, kind of a mixture of the two. We'll talk about that real quick. And his name was Zedekiah. And it wasn't his birth name, but they called him Zedekiah. And let me tell you what Zedekiah means. God is just. You see, Jehoiakim led God's people into a partnership with Egypt. Hello, we have Egyptians marching our street now saying, what have you done, Jehoiakim?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What have you done, Jehoiakim? Don't you understand these people are killing the Egyptians? And then what does Zedekiah do? Zedekiah brings God's people into Babylonian captivity under God's servant, Nebuchadnezzar,
mm-hmm.
for a time, a season of bondage. Why? Because we didn't heed to the warning. We didn't listen to the warning. We didn't realize God was fastening a storm against us, and all we had to do was repent, and he would stop everything because he's the one that orchestrated it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That starts with when I send a plague amongst my people, when I send locusts to devour their crops. Ezekiel 33, possibly. When I fashion a sword against my people, all we have to do is repent. Listen, you are Josiah. You better listen to it now so you can start making some kingly decisions.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.